Okay, the first mission in Pirkei Avos is well known. Moshe kibbel Torah Sinai, u'misara liYeshua, Yeshua lezakedim, lezakedim in Levim, Levim asaru alachik Knesset Hagadolah. There's a list of Moshe, Yeshua, zakedim, Levim, alachik Knesset Hagadolah. There's a list, not only five names, but five time periods in the history of Klal Yisrael. Moshe, Yeshua, the Shoftim, or the Zakenim. And then Nevi'im is the Tkufas HaMalachim. Every Melech had a Navi that accompanied him. There was no absolute monarchy in Klal Yisrael. Every Melech had a Navi that he had to answer to. So the Nevi'im is the period of the Malachim. And the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah are those who led Klal Yisrael at the time of the Binyan Bayis Sheni. So these are the Rabbeinu Yain explains that these are the five Tkufis of Klal Yisrael. Hey Mamru Shloisha Devarim, and then Pirkei Avos begins with the advice of Havi Masunim Bedin and Midu Tamidim Harbe Vasusi Yagla Toira, which we'll get to later. The Rechaim Velozhin begins by analyzing, it's really an analysis of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's his first piece. And as we learn his words, I have here marked in my Rechaim that he begins with nine kashas. He begins with nine. I say I have it marked. I marked it with myself with a pencil. But if you learn the first couple of paragraphs, he asks a series of kashas to come to a point, which is the goal of this first piece. So let's learn the nine questions, and then let's see if we can figure out the answer. Moshe kibbel umasra. Moshe kasev tchila b'moshe loshin kabbalah. The first question is why it says Moshe kibbel, and why does it say Yeshua kibbel? Pavlei lemeimer Moshe kibbel mi Yeshua kibbel me Moshe. I have a little lemeimer. Hakadosh Baruch Hu masar Torah leMoshe, Moshe masar leYeshua. So the first question is there's obviously some difference fundamentally between Moshe's kabbalas haTorah and Yeshua's. Well, Yashiv said, to come to answer this, Nevarim HaShomru B'Sifri, Huva B'Rashi Reish
Matais. Why is there something different? He's using Mesirah. There's Mesirah. It's different than Kabbalah.
Right, so there's a difference. One is Kabbalah, one is Mesirah.
Okay, so to the extent that is Kabbalah was different, he had something that he did. It was that he had something else. He got a Mesirah as opposed to the Kabbalah. I know what that is.
Right. So he's saying, what is the difference? One is Kabbalah, one is Mesirah. What's the difference between the two? And to answer that, he brings a Sifri, Huva Barashi Resh Matos. Kol Nevi'im Nisnabu B'Koy Amar Hashem. All Nevi'im Lashon Nevu was Koy. And he said, well, Moshe Nisnabu B'Zeh HaDavar. Shnema Zeh HaDavar Shetziva Hashem. Lov Ima Zeh HaYisafa B'Lashon Zeh HaDavar Shetnisnabu Moshe. So first question is, what was unique about Moshe that it says Moshe Kibbel? The second question is, what's unique about Moshe that when it comes to the Nevu of Moshe Rabbeinu, it says Zeh HaDavar, as opposed to other Nevi'im where it says Kai. That's his second question. Obviously, he's heading towards an understanding of the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Avol Yuvan al piyapsukim in the voice Moshe. Well, if you want to understand what's special about Moshe, we have to start with the psukim that talk about Moshe Rabbeinu being unique. V'saif parasha ba'ala ischa. V'tadaber Miriam v'Aaron v'Moshe. You know that when Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moshe, v'yemru harak ach v'Moshe diber Hashem alay gam banu diber. If the whole purpose of this maimer is to understand the difference between Moshe and others, so we go to Aaron and Miriam who failed somehow. That if anybody in Klal Yisrael can understand Moshe Rabbeinu, it should have been his brother and sister, and they failed to understand. So haloshin ach v'Moshe diber have alay lemeimer im Moshe diber. So the third question is, why does it say Ach b'Moshe Dibur Hashem? Ach is a strange word. It should say, did Hashem speak with Moshe? What is the language of Ach?
Only. Did he only speak with Moshe?
Ach b'Moshe Dibur Hashem.
Ach b'Moshe Dibur
Hashem. So say Harak im Moshe Dibur Hashem. He's only. Harak Ach.
Ach and Rak are something similar.
Yeah, similar. So I guess it's a double Lashon somehow. This is third question. All the questions obviously are pointing towards the uniqueness of Moshe. Gam loshem, gam banu, havelel meimer, gam imanu. Gam banu, diber Hashem. Hashem spoke to us, what is banu? In us, you speak with someone. Fourth question. Fifth question. Pasuk she'achaze. Vayered Hashem, vayem ishimun ha'devarai im yeh nevi'achem Hashem. Hashem wants to say that Moshe Rabbeinu is unique. So he says, Shimun ha'devarai, im yeh nevi'achem Hashem, tumo ha'loshen im yeh nevi'achem. It means to say, Hashem is saying, if you have nevuah, is it the same? And nevi'achem is a strange loshen. It's his fifth question.
Is that your nevuah? Your nevuah.
Nevuaschem, Nevuach, Neviachem.
Okay. Why is he beating around the bush though? Was that your pasuk in Hashem that he was special because he very much
He's going to get that's going to be the seventh kasha. One second. Sixth question. Gaba pasuk hazeh b'mare elov izvada b'chaloyim adababai. Says b'mare elov, and then adaber boy. Mashkot tchilai love akach boy. That's a sixth diuk. He's not going to give seven, nine answers. Only one answer to hopefully to explain all of them. Seven. Oy b'pasi peh ba adaber boy. Have a little memory, Imai. Okay, so the pasi peh al peh adaber boy. Again, it's the same diuk boy instead of Imai. Next question. Eighth question. Agam aloshin ba'avdi Moshe kasha. Now he does explain what the difficulty is. Ba'avdi Moshe, but I guess he's going to explain. I'd say it's a kasha, but it's a diuk. Ba'avdi b'Moshe. Okay. Hineyadua ha'mashamru b'seif ha'chaylitz. The Gemara says, u'b'medrash, kol nevim nistaklu b'aspaklar yosha'inay mi'ira. All the nevim saw with a vision that was not clear. U'Moshe nistaklu b'aspaklar yosha'inay mi'ira. Moshe saw clearly. He's going to explain what is the clarity that Moshe Rabbeinu had uniquely. What was unique about Moshe Rabbeinu's clarity? Was it just like the reception was better? He's going to explain that. Gam omru shchina medaberes b'tagroyne shel Moshe. Also the uniqueness of the shchina speaking through the throat of Moshe. No b'zayar. Now, the two greatest Jews were Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Who's greater, Avraham Avinu or Moshe Rabbeinu? Not to know, Moshe Rabbeinu. So he says, "Ubezayar Avram Avinu, Avram psik tamei begavei." When it says, somebody could check this up in a Chumash. When God says Avram, there's a psik between the two. A psik in the Chumash is a line between the two Avrams. It's sort of a pause. So when Hashem speaks lovingly, the double lashon is an expression of love. Avram, the trump has a pause between the two Avrams. Moshe, Leipzig, Tava, Begave. When it says Moshe, there's no split. It's one flow, Moshe. Asher b'zeh merum ezlanu in yedarek madregas Moshe. That must have something to do with our goal to understand the madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. Echosi yoseh na'la mimadregas Avraham Avinu. How it was greater. So I guess the ninth question is to understand the difference between Moshe and Avraham Avinu as a vehicle of understanding the uniqueness of Moshe.
Which pasuk is he talking about when he says Moshe?
By the snare.
But he says Moshe.
Without a psik.
If he wouldn't have had a psik between the two Avrams, it could have been a run on. Just like by Shema. By Moshe, you can't have a, you can't run on. The pronunciation of Avram, just like you have to.
Very nice.
At the Shema.
Avram, it means it's like Mavram. And Moshe doesn't lend itself to it. That's a good. But there are pshat, that's certainly good. That Avram. Okay.
But I still ask the same question. That pasuk below, come, O Moshe, not Moshe, Asher Yidah. That answers what the difference is.
It doesn't answer. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu is unique, but it doesn't explain the uniqueness.
Yeah, because
he's going to try to explain. So what was what about Moshe made him unique in that way? That's what he wants. All these questions are diyukim, so that when he's going to give us his explanation of the uniqueness of Moshe, we can go back and find it hidden in all these messages of the pasuk. The comparison to Avram is desire. It's not fair to compare Avram to Moshe.
That's right.
Like, don't compare me to Moshe. It's just a sort of a vehicle of teaching the difference. This psik, he's going to explain, it lies in this, since someone as great as Avram had a psik, and Moshe didn't, there must lie in that something, a hint at the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what he's going to explain.
Moshe Rabbeinu was called a tzir. Elitzion Baruch Moshe Rabbeinu. So he went out to Klal Yisrael. Avraham didn't have any Klal Yisrael to go out to.
Moshe Rabbeinu had a Klal Yisrael and Avraham didn't.
Avraham
didn't have it, Moshe Rabbeinu had.
Yeah. So what you want,
okay, that's true.
Hagami want to compare even the Heidegger Moshe Rabbeinu and Obama compared to Zimbabwe.
Comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah.
It's true. And Im Kozel, let's just finish the questions. Gadol Bashadema B'Moshe, B'Moshadema B'Avraham. Dilu B'Avraham Tzivanochi Ofer Ve'Efer. Now, again, Chazal expressed it this way, that by Avraham Avinu, he said, I'm Ofer Ve'Efer, I'm like dust. Vilu B'Moshe Ksiv V'Nachnu Ma, the connection of Moshe and Aaron, that said, V'Nachnu Ma, we're nothing. Now, in the note here explains that even though it says Nachnu, it says Aaron too, Moshe was speaking. So Moshe chose an expression of what are we? Avraham chose an expression that we are, I am like dust. Was there a big difference? Someone says Nachnu Ma, or Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. His brother, well, garnished is the honor, Nachnu Ma. We're nothing that you should fight with us.
He's
an honor of Aaron's cheshbon. I assume he did it with Aaron's Ascotman. I don't know. But at any rate, so these are sort of nine different diyukim, which have to hint at the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, by definition, once he went to Har Sinai, he had to be infallible. Infallible means he couldn't make mistakes. Because if we have a Kabbalah that whatever Moshe Rabbeinu brings down from Sinai, we have an Emunah Shalema that whatever Moshe Rabbeinu brings from Sinai is Torah, then it had to be that after Moshe Rabbeinu went to Sinai, he couldn't make mistakes later. Now, we don't really have any doctrine of infallibility of any human being. We have no idea that any human being in the world is infallible. Even a Rebbe or a Rosh Hashiva or a God Ladar could also make mistakes. There's no idea of somebody not being able to make mistakes. The Rambam, though, says, Nitlo mimenu ha-bechira, that Moshe Rabbeinu, once he went to Sinai, lost Bechira.
There was now, obviously when he got angry, he became Zotoyz.
Well, he did Toys. All right, so we have to, yeah, I don't know, we have to know how that fits. But as far as Bechira in becoming a Rasha, that he didn't have Bechira. So he's going to try to explain what it was that Moshe Rabbeinu achieved that made him stand out. We all know that Moshe Rabbeinu was unique, Pe'adababai, etc. But what about his Avoida made him stand out? So he's going to give something of an explanation, which hopefully is going to shed light on all human beings. Now, his explanation sort of begins with another question, but at least he's heading towards an answer. He says, "Levarzeh magdulas shel Moshe Rabbeinu, b'hod loy pasik tami b'gavei." To explain what was special about Moshe, that there's no hefsik between Moshe and Moshe. He didn't do it. Masha'omru Chazal, l'chu chazu b'faloys Hashem, asher som shamois ba'aretz. Look at the pool of Hashem, Hashem's creations. Asher som shamois ba'aretz, that to be shamois elo shemois. That Hashem put names in the world. I think we're familiar with this idea that a name hints at the mitzius of the person, as if to say, whatever karle ha'adam nefesh chaya hu shemai, lasha nefesh chaya kasha, havmei leha nefesh chaya. He gave a name to a creation. That calling a name is not just humans agree to give something a name. And a person gives a name, any name he wants. However, the chai was connected to a shayrish, that was the name. When you give a name to somebody, it's the person. Now this is a familiar idea at the beginning of Parsha Shemais. The idea that a name is not just, in English, when you call a horse, it's just people agree to call the horse a horse. If you call a dog a horse, then the dog is a horse. And the horse becomes a dog, but it's just coincidental. There's an idea that in Lashon Kodesh, the names are the Shem HaEtzem. They define the essence of the creation. Now, I can't explain it, but that somehow a shayer is a shin and a vav and a resh together is a shar. Just like water, if you take, two molecules of hydrogen, one molecule of oxygen, you get water. So if you take a mem and a yod and a mem, you get mayim. It somehow is, it defines what it is. Names are defining, ideas. So that's why I make a big fuss about names. Therefore, he's saying the Avram Avram and the Maisha Maisha define the person. So he explains Zewa Inya Bekfilas Hashemais. Now, in order to understand this, I want to tell you what it says in the beginning of Nefesh HaChaim, the first Maimer. Nefesh HaChaim is four Maimerim. Each Maimer is basically one theme. The theme of the first Maimer is to explain the soul. The different parts of the neshama. I mentioned before we started this that Chaim V'Lashana basically, in his two svarim, Ruach Chaim and Nefesh Chaim, and his Akdamah to Sefer Netziyusa, in these three places, he basically takes the ideas of the Zayar that Chassidus explain in a Drushi style, and he takes the same concepts and he explains it in a technical style. In other words, he explains it like a Litvak would explain. While the Chassidim explain it like a Chassid would explain. So that he gives a technical tzura to the neshama. Now what he says there basically is that a person's neshama is mostly not in Olam Hazeh. Most of the person's neshama, he pictures the neshama as a spiral staircase that goes from the person, from the tip of his head, all the way to Shamayim. There's an idea that the higher in the guf, somehow, is closer to the neshama. It's a nice idea that's brought in the Kaf HaChaim by Havdalah. By Havdalah, we make four brachas: by Perek Ofer, by Minim Samer, by Reish, and Artachay, and Hamavdu Makad Shlachel. So he explains that it's Bederech Aliyah, the more spiritual part of the body. We go from the mouth, which is by Perek Ofer, to the nose, which is by Minim Samer, to the eyes, which is by Reish, to their brain, which is Hamadu Makadish Lachayil, is Deya. And that somehow this is the Shama Yaseira leaving us at Havdalah. And somehow as it leaves, we give it a drink, we give it a smell, we give it a look, and then we try to understand. So that, what?
Ears.
I don't know what happened to the ears of Havdalah. I have no idea. We should play music also during Havdalah. I don't know. I don't know the answer. But that's the idea of the neshama. So that, if you can give a three-dimensional image of the neshama is mostly in Shemayim, and the edge, he expresses it in very strong lashon, that it barely touches the person. And there's neshama in Shemayim, and neshama in the guf. Now, the guf, he will express in the paragraph, I guess we'll do tomorrow night, as...
The
what?
We're still there, but in the morning we
received
the neshama.
We received the neshama. How it connects to the Maida Ani, I'm not sure. But whatever it is, a little bit of it comes down to touch. Now, what he's going to explain is that when you have Avram Avram, or Maisha Maisha, or anybody that you call with two names, the two names are the two aspects of the person. The part that's upstairs, and the part that's down here. Basically, the part of the Shama that's here and the part of the Shama that's upstairs. And in essence, what he's going to say, I guess we'll finish tomorrow, is that there's a psik between the two. Because Lamaisa, the part of the Shama that's down here is Megushim, is in a physical body, and the part that's upstairs is spiritual, and there's a certain psik between them. Even Avraham Avinu had a certain separation. The uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu is that there was no psik, there was no separation. He spent 80 years till we meet him. We forget about that. Before you meet Moshe Rabbeinu, from the time he leaves Pari's house till you meet him again, he's 80 years old. So he didn't waste his time. In those 80 years, he achieved something. He did the opposite of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu spent his years mixing with people, dealing with people. Moshe Rabbeinu spent his years in contact with nobody. All of Klal Yisrael was a Mitzrayim, and he was far away. So that is a very wide difference between Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu. So, okay, I guess we'll come back to tomorrow to answering all these questions, to understanding the significance of the Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai, which we'll get to in Yitzhak Hashem. We'll continue tomorrow. We'll pick up here.